हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविर्विश्वावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 59, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 13, Five Potent Forms of Devotional Service. So here then we're continuing with Srila Prabhupada and his purport to chapter, canto 7, right? Okay. Now let us discuss the offenses in deity worship. The following are offenses. A. To enter the temple with shoes or being carried on a palanquin, right? In other words, you're going to the Lord's place. You don't go into someone's house on a palanquin, right? Yeah. B. Not to observe prescribed festivals, right? See, in normal places, normal houses, how they prevent you from going in on a palanquin is the doors are too low. You'll be knocked off, so you have to get out of your palanquin. Then the only thing left is the shoes. Right, but in the temple, because they use high doors and that, because the Lord's place is majestic, you might think I can get in with my palanquin. Right? So, okay. B. Not to observe the prescribed festivals. C. To avoid offering obeisances in front of the deity. Right? You have some excuse. You're just doing this. You're just quick. You just got to run in and do this, and then go. No, don't do that. Right? D. To offer prayers in an unclean state. So you always want to be pure. You always want to be clean. Right? That's why there's restrictions that if you've seen somebody who's dead or different things like that, then you have to be clean before you can go and offer prayers. Right? Because the problem is if you're impure, there's also a chance that what you'll say will be impure. Right? Not having washed one's hands after eating. Right? So you always have to see as you eat, you have to wash your hands. Right? It's always the thing. It's not, you can't eat and not wash your hands. So then you have to consider that, because it means you can, means, yes. So we'll see is that when he's talking about prayers like that, because now we're on the deity worship, the prayers, then that aspect, it has so many elements that are required. And so if one is trying to become perfect at reciting prayers to the Lord, you're like Akrura became perfect by that. Then you have to always be clean and everything like that. That's one of the prerequisites. But anyway, everybody has to do that. E, to offer obeisances with one hand. Right? You always put two. That doesn't mean that the one hand's on top of the other, that's one hand. It means both hands are being applied in the obeisances. Like that. Means the other hand's not holding something and, like that. F, to circumambulate directly in front of the deity. G, to spread one's legs before the deity, right? It's uncultured. H, to sit before the deity while holding one's ankles with one's hand. It's the same thing. It's basically, it's just, it's the same sitting position, just you're using now your hands around your ankles or knees, but that's the same position. One, to lie down before the deity. J, to eat before the deity. K, to speak lies before the deity, right? Because he knows everything. Right? L, to address someone loudly before the deity. M, to talk. Now, we won't do that. You may see the villagers doing that, but to them, that's not loud.
Yes.
To them, they're not shouting. That's normal talking. If they two of them sit down right next to each other, they talk at that same volume. It's amazing that they do. So you're saying, why are they shouting? They're not shouting. Like that. If we do it, that's shouting. For them, no. You know, for us, the closer you are, the quieter we talk.
Yeah.
For them, it doesn't matter if you're the other side of the room or sitting exactly, they talk the same volume. They don't change. Right? There's on and off. It's like the speakers for the the music.
Yeah.
It's on or off. They don't have anything in between. Right? When the guys get the music, you know, the professional guys, they get for doing all this Bollywood music for festivals, you get the thing, turn it up to full, break the knob off. You know, then they don't have to play with it. You know, then it's just it. You just plug it in, it runs. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter if it's a field or if it's just your room. It's the same. Right? Yes. Same. No, it's on or off. But no one bothers with a low setting. Okay. To talk nonsense before the deity, to cry before the deity. I mean, if you're crying about, you know, the deed in connection, if you're crying about some material loss and that you don't do. That you stay at home when you're not going to cry to anybody. O, to argue before the deity. P, to chastise someone before the deity. Q, to show someone favor before the deity. Right? That is if we're the Suri Dham Sarva Bhutanam, right? You know, that one. We're the friend of everyone. We're being the nice guy. R, to use harsh words before the deity. Right, because you can say something strong, but say it nicely. S, to wear a woolen blanket before the deity. You mentioned that it's very, very hairy, like the ones we're sitting on. T, to blaspheme someone before the deity. And these are nice ones. Right? Means you can see, means that some of them, they really make their, I mean, literally horse blankets. Only sadhus generally use them in that, but I've even seen a pashmina horse blanket. It's pure pashmina. When they take the pashmina, they have the threads, right? So the wool, they clean it. So they take out all the heavy stuff. There's these pokey stuff on the ask. So when you have the goat, the outside layer of hairs is big, fat, and pokey, right? So no one messes with the goat. Right? And then inside is all the fine, fine stuff we know as pashmina. So it's all off the pashmina goat. It all has the same quality of being warm and all that. But when they get all that hair, then they separate out the heavy stuff and the fine stuff they use for the shawls and everything like that. The heavy stuff, it'll have some of the fine stuff in it, has that quality. Then they collect that for some time, and I don't know if they still do it, but before, you get them in katibandhas and stuff, then they make chudders out of that. It's pure pashmina, it's super warm, but it's super pokey. Right? I don't know if they still make them. I don't know if anybody'd wear them nowadays. But before, they were worn. So you can even have a pashmina horse blanket. Right? You know, for the horses, it's kind of like, you know, scratches a little bit. You know, it's like, it's nice, you know, like someone scratching the back. So for them, it's good. For us, not as good.
I think they use for doormats sometimes.
Pashmina doormats?
For those kind of, it's like, I have seen some, like wool, and then when you scrub it, it feels nice.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Like, suitable.
Okay, yeah. So they find something for it. So don't wear those in the deity room. That's the point. You can even say, but it's pashmina. No, don't wear it. So, you, to worship someone else before the deity, right? Don't do that. To blaspheme someone before the deity. You, because everybody's part and parcel of Krishna, so he wants to see what can you do to elevate them. Right? Finding fault, that's easy. Anybody can do that. But to elevate, no, that's the special. V, to use vulgar language before the deity. W, to pass air before the deity. X, to avoid very opulent worship of the deity, even though one is able to perform it. Right? Just like not to preserve prescribed festivals, so you can perform. Right? Y, to eat something not offered to the deity. Z, to avoid offering fresh fruit to the deity according to the season. So now we have double A. To offer food to the deity which has already been used or from which has first been given to others. In other words, food should not be distributed to anyone else until it's been offered to the Lord. Right? So the Lord, it means it's His. You have to take His portion first. So even though, let's say, you have to make some arrangements, let's say, you know, just for example, the Sankirtan devotees are having to go out, yes, you know, but it's before the offering, they have to take it with it. You take the Lord's portion out, put it on his plate, then you give them. But if you take theirs out, now the Lord's getting their remnants. Yes. If you take his portion out, then they're getting his remnants. Even though they won't eat it till after the offering. You understand? It's a matter of sesha, who's last. Does that make sense? You know, the same ways, let's say, also, or you have to, means this, then, same way, like you're feeding the devotees, you have to feed the kids, like that, and then you have special guests, you know, like this, and brahmins like that. Take theirs out first, then you feed the kids and whoever else. But it's a principle called sesha. Whatever left. Does that make sense?
Okay. An elaboration on this, that sesha means we take what is...
We're taking what's left. That's why the Lord has to come first, you know, or let's say we're serving Bashad, then who is senior, that theirs goes first. You know, if you're just everyone sitting and you're just serving around, then it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, like that. And then when everyone's finished eating, what's left, that's sesha now. You know, that's when the grihastha meets.
Yes.
Right? Because you after like that. Or if you're serving, it's also a technical point that when you have a spoon, you don't use these monster spoons. Unless, you know, you want one monster spoon or two monster spoons. Does that make sense? That's all right. So if you're in the brahmachari kitchen, you know, you're serving rice, it's two monster spoons. Dal means one monster spoon. Sabji means one monster spoon. Then it's straightforward. No problem there. Like that. But you don't take a lot in a spoon and then only serve part of it to the person, then keeping that go to the next person and give, because otherwise they're getting the remnants of that other person.
Mm-hmm.
You only take up how much you're going to put on the plate in the spoon.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's just it's the same kind of principle. So, for the deity, you're very careful that he always is getting first. Double B, to sit with one's back towards the deity. Right, so sitting in all these improper ways, and this being, in other words, you're supposed to be respectful. The bodily things is to be respectful in service to the Lord, not just sitting, relaxing, just eating, doing whatever you like.
On that topic, in many temples we have the deity one side and Srila Prabhupada the other side.
Right.
So sometimes devotees, they use 90%, 90%. Or if we sit the deity, we have our back for Srila Prabhupada.
Generally speaking, you would see, means in all the temples when Prabhupada was here, you means there was an aisle down the middle, you faced the aisle.
Yes,
so either
yes,
Krishna's on, if you're on the right of the deity, then Krishna was on your right, Prabhupada. I mean, on your left, Prabhupada was on your right.
Yes.
If you're on the deity's left, then the deity would be on your right, Prabhupada on the left.
Yes, yes.
So you face the center.
Yes. So you were facing each other.
Yes, they were facing each other.
Yeah, but now it's...
Or if you're, you know, in other words, or if you, as you start moving to the back of the temple, then you might... The point is you wouldn't have your back to Prabhupada. You might be now at a 45-degree angle. Or if you stand like by Prabhupada, then you'd just be facing forward.
Yes.
Like that. Is that... Yeah, so like that. That was what's done. Now, basically, it's very rarely practiced. But that's the tradition. C, to offer obeisance to someone else in front of the deity. Right? So this doesn't mean that when you see the guru or sannyasis, you don't, because they're representing the Lord. But you don't like just, you know, does that make sense? So it's just like after Tulsi Puja, everything's closed, then that's when you offer to all the Vaishnavas. But otherwise, you don't just, the brahmacharis are just interacting and offering obeisances and doing their who's more humble you know, than each other. But you don't do that when it's kind of entertaining, but yeah. Double D. So in other words, you don't offer obeisances to demigods, this and that. You don't allow the Hindus to do a Kali worship puja in your temple and put the Kali deity, you know, there in the temple room to do their worship, because that way then the Hindus come to our place. No, give them another room to do all that. Don't do that in front of the deity. Double D, not to chant proper prayers when offering obeisances to the spiritual master. right? Like that. Double E, to praise oneself before the deity. And double F, to blaspheme the demigods. In the worship of the deity, these 32 offenses should be avoided. In the Varaha Purana, the following offenses are mentioned. A, to eat in the house of a rich man. Right, because you're eating there just to, because you're getting good food. It's not a matter of a program or anything like that or some benefit like that. B, to enter the deity's room in the dark. Right, so you can't touch the deity and all that. So you have to bring some light with you. See, because otherwise you're coming in, the deity can't see who's there, right? You know, so you have to, you know, bring some light, because if you're going to light the lamps, where's that going to happen from? C, to worship the deity without following the regulative principles, right? You don't just make up your own system. D, to enter the temple without vibrating any sound. So there's knock on the door, ringing a bell, something is there. To say a sound, you know, like that. E, to collect food that has been seen by a dog. F, to break silence while offering worship to the deity. Means to talk about anything other than Krishna. G, to go to the toilet during the time of worshiping the deity. Right? You should plan your life so that this doesn't happen. Right? H, to offer incense without offering flowers. I, because incense is taken from, the scents will be from flowers. So you want to see that they're both there. That's why dupa artik is incense and flowers. So if you're burning incense all day, at the artik you've run it both, and then all day they just come light more incense, and when that goes out, light more incense, and keep it burning all day. But you've also seen is that you've offered flowers to the deities, your garlands are there, decorations in the altar, so all that's there. But you can do that. You know, it's a natural thing just to burn incense all day. Some of our temples may or may not do it. Like the Vallabhas, they always do it. That's one of the things they do. Because it mentions about rendering service to the deity. So you see in most big temples, someone sits on the altar all day. There's always someone there. Guests come, they offer things to the deity, things are needed. Incense has to be lit, the lamps have to be adjusted. You know, sometimes the garland falls off, you fix that. So, yeah. To worship the deity with forbidden flowers. Right, so then those that are Kali worship, like hibiscus and like that, or ones that don't have a smell, or they have a bad smell, or they got thorns, or, you know, something weird. J, to begin worship without having washed one's teeth. Right, so you always have to brush your teeth in the morning, get up, brush your teeth, yeah. Right. But it doesn't mention the comb through the hair, right? K, to begin worship after sex. You always have to have a bath and clean clothes, everything like that. L, to touch a lamp, dead body, or a woman during a menstrual period. So all these then make you unclean. So you can't touch the deity after this. You know, or go in the deity. Like, if you've touched a lamp, then you have to wash your hands in that. But if it's a dead body or a woman during a menstrual period, then you need to take a bath like that or change clothes. Or to put on red or bluish clothing, we mentioned before, because the red's for the tantrics. That means just red. And bluish, then that dark blue, that's Radharani's color, so we won't use it as a solid kind of thing. There might be some of that in the outfit, but it's not as a standard. Or unwashed clothing, means you always get new clothes, you always have to wash it. The clothing of others, like, because you don't know what that is, wear your own clothing. In other words, grihasthas always wear their own clothing. Right? Brahmacharis, depending on the temple and that place, they have their own or not. Like our temple, we didn't have our own clothes. You wore the clothes, put them in the bin, they were washed, they were put back in the clean clothes bin, and you just took from there. So one day you're wearing one dhoti, someone else the other, it just was like that. So it's not that it's others' clothing, because it's everybody's clothing. Yeah. Or soiled clothing, so you don't use that in the deity room, you always wear fresh. Other offenses are to worship the deity after seeing a dead body, or to pass air before the deity. To show anger before the deity, and to worship the deity just after returning from a crematorium, right? So the same of the mentality, the uncleanliness, the wrong attitudes, like that. After eating, one should not worship the deity until one has digested his food. Nor should one touch the deity or engage in any deity worship after eating safflower oil or hing. These are also offenses, right? Because safflower oil, then when you digest, you burp, it's not good. Like that. Even though, according to the health food freaks, safflower oil is the best oil you can ever get in the three worlds, you don't eat it if you're doing deity worship. Sorry. Stick to coconut oil. Many people will tell you that's the most fantastic oil also. And hing, then you have to be careful. It's a small amount, but if it's something that's predominantly hing, you know, like that, then you have to be very careful that you've digested so you're not burping. Hing burps, not good. These are also offenses. In other places, the following offenses are listed. A, to be against the scriptural injunctions of the Vedic literature or to disrespect within one's heart the Srimad Bhagavatam while externally falsely accepting its principles. Right, so that's why we're very careful about this anti-Vedic kind of attitude. Like that. Because the deity doesn't appreciate. B, to introduce differing shastras. Right, you bring it up, but this one says this, you know, why do that? If you can't reconcile, don't bring it up. That's why it says don't read too many shastras. You read how much, it's just like, how much do you eat? Right, how much you can digest. Right? You don't eat how much you can, so you can't eat anymore. That's not intelligent. An intelligent man eats how much he can digest. Right? So in the same way is that we don't read more scriptures than we can digest. So if you see a contradiction, that's more than you can digest. Don't read it. And then to bring it up and say, oh, but this is this, that's that, or you know how it's always that. Yes, so then here we say this. No, but in this place it says, you know, they have to say the opposite. You always get that. It has to be someone in the crowd, right? It has to. So you don't do that from the deity. You're supposed to try to hear and understand and do all these things. C, to chew pan and betel before the deity. Right? Even if someone in their sampradaya, it's not a problem to chew, you don't chew it in front of the deity. Right? Because then it's about enjoying, it makes it very messy, and it doesn't look very refined. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. D, to keep flowers for worship on the leaf of a castor oil plant. Right? Because the castor oil is not very, what do you call it? Yeah. It's just not proper. It'll give a fragrance. The leaf itself, it'll be a strong, and so then things will smell like castor oil. Not good. E, to worship the deity in the afternoon, right after lunch, then they take rest, so you don't worship them at that time. F, to sit on the altar or to sit on the floor to worship the deity without a seat, right? So you always put a mat. That's why you see is that when devotees go on the altar, they always put a kusas on, then they stand their seat there. G, to touch the deity with the left hand while bathing the deity, right? So you always you're pouring with the left and you're touching with the right. Right. Even if you're left-handed, doesn't matter. Does that make sense? You know, learn to use the right hand. H, to worship the deity with a stale or used flower. Right, one that's already used, don't worship again with that. Or it's stale, it's getting wilted, and don't use that as your flower.
Is it possible for devotees who are making garland to take the flower when day before?
As long as it's nice, as long as it is nice and it keeps and everything. Generally, most places where they're taking the day before, they also, you know, they're using flowers that are bred to last a long time and look fresh. And they're also generally keeping in, you know, in the refrigerator or something like that. The only problem about that is the refrigerators, they may get wet, so then they'll have to try to see that they're dry. You know, take a paper towel, something just dry it a little bit, but don't, be careful. Because you don't want to put wet garlands on the deity. To spit while worshiping the deity. Right, so if you're chewing pan, then that's one of the main problems that comes up, so that's there. And otherwise, even if you're not chewing pan, you still don't spit. Right, so no cuspidors in the deity room. Okay? The deities have one, it's called the Visarjaniya Patra, but that's not for us. Okay?
When devotee told me it's not good even to spit in the Alidam.
That's why then you spit, it's something that's like, you know, dry leaves, something like that kind of thing. It's not on the ground, but it's not on something alive.
hair.
Yeah. So in other words, wash your mouth and stuff, you know,
yes,
when you have a sink and stuff. J, to advertise one's glory while worshipping the deity. Yes. K, to apply tilak to one's forehead in a curved way. So it should be straight. You know? Or also, yeah, it's the other way, the three-line tilak, or just, you know, it goes off. And, in other words, it's supposed to go be going towards the Brahmarundra, not towards your ear. Like that, yeah. L, to enter the temple without having washed one's feet. Right, so you always wash the feet before going in the temple. M, to offer the deity food cooked by an uninitiated person. And that doesn't mean that if the Brahmin comes in and starts the fire, then it's all right. Like that. Because you can say, oh, because the Brahmin can touch the fire, but the uninitiated person is still touching the fire. Like that. So initiated people, they cook. Otherwise, why have initiation? If you can cook without initiation and worship the deity, so what do we need initiation for other than social status and prestige? Right? And since being proud is that is not useful, so therefore then, you know, how is it an advantage? And to worship the deity and offer bhoga to the deity within the vision of uninitiated persons or non-Vaishnavas. Right? So that's why the door is closed, or the curtains are closed, or you cover the food with a cloth when you're moving it. See, because people see, they know it's bhoga, and what can you do with it? It can't go anywhere. Right? You know, maybe you have to, you know, burn the cloth afterwards like that, because anyone touches it, they might, you know, incinerate. But the point is the food, the bhoga is unbothered. Understand? Oh, to offer worship to the deity without worshipping Vaikuntha deities like Ganesh. Right? So in other words, to worship the Lord without worshipping the approach to the Lord means the spiritual master. So anything we're offering to Krishna, it has to be worshipping through them. Right? But we're worshipping them as representing the Lord, so we're going through them. It's an approach to them, so it's called yoga. It's not ija. Right? The deity we're worshipping with the 69s, that's ija. But our approach with the article to the Lord through the spiritual master and the parampara, that's yoga. So it's not ija. Then when you get to Krishna, that's ija. You understand? Ija means the actual direct worship. Yoga means preliminaries. So it's a worship, but it's not that word, the main worship. Because some will say, oh, how can you offer the remnants of the spiritual master to Krishna? But that's not what you're doing. So then it foolishly comes up, and it was a very popular thing. It somehow came up in the 80s. Very confusing. And you might find places today where they just pick up the lamp and show it to the deity. Yes. Because of this point. Yes. Because somebody from the Sri Sampradaya brought the point up. It didn't come up from a Gaudiya. It came up from a Sri Sampradaya. And not someone who's properly situated. It was a Gaudiya who thinks he's a Sri. Mm-hmm. Who people kind of accept him as a Gaudiya. Like that. That's a big problem. Because for them, they do all their preliminaries in the room next to it. Then when they go into the deity room, they only do the ija. So all yoga is in the that room before, and all ija is in the deity room. So you'll see them light the lamp just off of the deity, because they've done everything before that. That's for an arti. They'll go in and do a full purvanga karma. We'll only do it when we're going to worship the deity in the morning. You know, like if we're doing Shaligram Puja or something. Right? So, seeing this, too, between the two, and not understanding that Prabhupada wrote the purvanga karma into the main worship, the 16 items, for us, because we're not going to sit down and do all that. So we pick it up, show it through the parampara and all that, then start with the deity, because in the purvanga karma, you have to do that anyway. So we're only taking them as representing, and then you're worshipping Krishna. Then after having worshipped Krishna, then after that, it goes down. After that, everyone now is getting the remnants of Krishna. Right? So that includes also going down the parampara, showing to Tulsi, showing to the devotees that have come, because the Lord is worshipped with his devotees. So it's not that, oh, the devotees didn't come here to be worshipped. That has nothing to do with that. It's about, that's part of the worship. Then after that, technically, you show to the bell into the earth. Right? So all that is that and then afterwards. So there's the preliminaries, there's the worship itself of Krishna, and then the conclusion where everybody else is then respected. Because that's the whole point. It's then, if we didn't do that, does that mean then when we offer it, then when it gets to Srivas, then you know we're not supposed to do that because he's just a devotee? The point is, Panchatattva means all. So does that make sense? So then the remnants of this also coming from that Gaudiya Sri Vaishnav, Gaudiya Vaikuntha Wallab, like this. Then you have, the problem is then you have also, you'll see sometimes they'll offer the flowers, let's say like that, then they'll take some off and give to Krishna, and they'll show the next one and take some off, something like that. That's because they do not understand what you're doing in the worship. Because that means, okay, then you're not worshiping really with them. Our system, you show everybody like that, now you've worshiped the Lord with all his energies. Because I'm not worshiping Bhakta Jose out there, I'm worshiping Krishna's devotees as part of Krishna. Does that make sense? Now I take the flowers and now I put them at the deity's feet. It's a more subtle understanding. It's a Bhagavatam understanding. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? But if you can't handle a Bhagavatam understanding, then yeah, the Vaikuntha understanding will work, but it's the wrong sampradaya. You want to get the brudge? Get used to subtleties. You know, you're cool with Vaikuntha, that's all right, they keep your mouth shut. Does that make sense? So in other words, that's why it said before, to introduce differing shastras, differing methods. That's a Sri Vaishnav method, that's for Sri Vaishnavs. Now could you tell the Sri Vaishnav, but the Madhvas do it like this. They could not care less. So only we'll do that. Introduced from here, there, and everywhere. So you see, as these things have come up from these confusions, because somebody's introduced from something else. We've been given by the Acharya, it perfectly matches the technical points of philosophy. If you know the philosophy in that, you just know the ritual, yes, you won't know. So that's a difficulty. Oh, does that make sense? So we stick to what Prabhupada's given us. It works really, really nicely. Prabhupada's just given it so simply, so that means people who don't even know the technicalities can still do it. But then the problem comes is those who are expert, they like technicalities, think that it's not technical. But if you actually understand the technical that the Acharyas have given, you see Prabhupada's already included all that. Because there's a good chance that the person who's saying these things then we'll step on the altar without a mat. The Prabhupada mentioned you don't step on the altar without a mat. You know what I'm saying? So they're only technical where they noticed, you know, what the Shris or the Babajis or the Vrindavan Goswamis were doing. But what about all the other things they're doing? They don't notice that because it's too, you know. So the point is, we have what we do, we do that. You want to be in their group? Go be in their group. Spiritual world is really, really big. It will accommodate you. But if you want to be there where Prabhupada is, serving in that line exactly, in Braj, then you do what he says. Does this make sense? One has to be very, very careful. Because the point is yes, you can go back to Godhead by all these other processes. But where in back to Godhead? That's all. You know, some will say, oh no, it's all the same place, it's all this, you know, just a big kitchery. It's not. You're exactly where you want to be in the association that you serve in. That's all. We serve with Prabhupada, we stay there. You go off to other, you know, how you say, cousins, uncles, and aunts, and whatever else is out there. You'll end up with them. You may be, okay, if you're a little favorable to Prabhupada, you may bump into him also now and again. Maharas, everybody gets together. But on a daily thing, you may not be involved. So no one should kid themselves that I do whatever I want and it's going to come out the way I say it should. Krishna's in charge and it's going to work out the way he says. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is we don't have a problem that others do this. Why we're saying strongly on these points is because following like this and getting that, it won't take you to Braj. It'll get you to Vaikuntha, yes, but it won't take you to Braj. But now, where's the preliminary activities? Pancharatra always mentions preliminary activities. So if you just go in, do an achman, light the lamp, and show it to Krishna, where's the yoga? Where's the Purvanga karma? How is that pancharatric worship? Where is that mentioned by anyone? Even the Shris won't do that. Nobody will do that. So now we've made our own apasampradaya kind of bogus thing because we don't understand the scripture because we introduce something opposing. Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful. Right? Because that's the thing. And if you look at it, what Prabhupada says matches the scriptures. He just makes it accessible for those of us who are not that inclined towards all the technical points of puja. Does that make sense? So that's the point. But it's all there. But things, all those technical points match very nicely into what Prabhupada's giving. Same time as it can also be in that very, very simple form. That's the perfection. That's why we stick to our acharyas. Okay, P, to worship the deity while perspiring. You can say, well, what can I do? But the point is should the deity be in such a hot place? Right? If you're perspiring while doing the worship, it means it's too hot for the deities. So then you should try to arrange something. That's one thing. Two, dress properly. Three, you take 3 times a day bath. You know? Four, then like in South, where it's really hot and all, they eat lots of yogurt. Lots of yogurt.
And as we don't run to go to the deity worship. We don't run for going to the deity.
Yeah, you don't run, go to the deity worship. Yeah, you go on time so you don't have to run. That's a very good point. I didn't think of that technicality. That's a very good point. Leave it for the last second. Yeah. That's a good point. Q, to refuse flowers offered to the deity. Right? So then when you get things like that, then that's accepted. You have to respect it. Like you see, is what's his Radhanath Maharaj. He doesn't like, you know, garland and that because he doesn't want to be, you know, stand out or be anything special. So they'll offer the garland, he'll accept it. As soon as he accepts it, then he'll touch it to his hand and then he'll put it on the side or something. The point is that you always accept it.
Sometimes I know some devotees, they have some marigolds, they cannot.
Yeah, but then the point is then, you know, touch it. Somehow or another, respect it. The point is it's coming from the deities, respect it. So refuse doesn't mean that you have to sit there and eat it or something. It just means that you have to respect it's there, not just, oh no, not, you know, like that. You don't want to have that mood as something that's Krishna and then you are like that. So it's just, you may have to adjust, but yeah, if someone has it now, okay, but just respect. No, respect first, then tell them. You know. Because as soon as you come with a garland or something like that, or a flower, and you just go like this, then okay, what's happening? You respect, and you say, sorry, I got an allergy or something. Or to take a vow or oath in the holy name of the Lord. Right? You don't do that, because Krishna's in charge. We're not. When commits any of the above offenses, one must read at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is confirmed in the Skanda Purana of Antipur Kanda. Similarly, there is another injunction stating that one who reads the 1,000 names of Vishnu can be released from all offenses. In the same Skanda Purana, Reva Kanda, it is said that one who recites prayers to Tulsi or sows the Tulsi tree is also freed from all offenses. So, offers prayers or sows the Tulsi tree we saw before doesn't mean that every day you plant, you do things to nourish Tulsi. So watering Tulsi and, you know, picking the manjaris and, you know, seeing that everything's nice, no bug, all this kind of thing. That's also concluded in sowing a Tulsi. So either you plant or you start, you offer prayers, you worship or you maintain like that. Similarly, one who worships the Shaligam Shila can be relieved of all offenses. In the Brahmanda Purana said there that one who worships Lord Vishnu, whose 4 hands bear a conch, disc, lotus flower, and club, can be relieved from the above offenses. Right? So, in other words, worshiping the Lord relieves you of the offenses of worshiping the Lord. In the Adi Varaha Purana, it said that a worshipper who has committed offenses may fast for one day at the holy place known as Shaukarava and then bathe in the Ganges. So you have all these, but we see here is that you read the thousand names of Vishnu, right? Then that is, how you say, equal to one name of Ram. Three Rams is one Krishna. So then chanting. So in other words, chanting the holy name, worshipping the deity. So now you do those and try to be careful. But you see Krishna Prabhupada so nicely worked in, you know, studying Gita on a daily basis, like that, worshipping Tulsi, like that, worshipping the Lord. So all the things to purify us of all the things we need to be purified of, then Prabhupada has written this into the process very nicely. That's why it's such a perfect system. Yeah. Like that.
Sometimes we, at least for deity worship, at least in France, we have a prayer, mantra enam, prayer enam, after having been inside the deity room, if we have made offense, consciously or unconsciously, something like that.
Yeah, no, that's always there. Means that's always there as part of the concluding activities,
yes,
anyway.
Yes.
Is after you've worshipped the Lord with the items, then you worship the Lord's associates, things connected to the Lord, everything like that. You offer obeisances, offer prayers. That's where Charinamrita, circumambulating the deity. All these aspects are all part of that. Atmani Vedanam. You know, offering oneself and offering one's service, you know, begging for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. All these are all just part of that. That's the 16th item. Mm-hmm. You have 16 items, so 15 items are all different things of worship. The 16th is then all those things connected to the Lord. So it's all the prayers, all the, you know, tadiya, everything like that. So it's a natural part of doing that. But that means you're trying to avoid them, but if something comes up that you're unaware of, or this or that, or it happens, it's not that you think, I'll do whatever I like and then chant this prayer, then that's the 7th, 8th offense. Yeah. In the process of worshipping the deity, it's sometimes enjoined that one worship the deity within the mind. In the Padma Purana Uttarakhanda, it is said, quote, all persons can generally worship within the mind. And even if you can't do a nice, you do mental worship.
Mm-hmm.
In the Padma, the Gautamiya Tantra states, quote, for a sannyasi who has no home, worship of the deity within the mind is recommended, end quote. So that's why Prabhupada didn't recommend that sannyasis carry deities. They could if they want, but he didn't recommend because then so much difficulty in arrangements and this and that. So then they can do within the mind. So that's the tradition. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is stated by Lord Narayana, the worship of the deity within the mind is called Manasa Puja. One can become free from the four miseries by this method. So even in the main worship, it's part of the worship. It's the last portion of the yoga. There's all the preliminary activities, there's the Manasa Puja, and then after that, then you install the conch shell. You know, the argya. Because that, you put the deity, it's only after you've come to that point, then you invoke the deity into that argya water. Does that make sense? Sometimes worship from the mind can be independently executed. Right? So it's not just part of the puja. According to the instructions of Avihotra Muni, one of the Navayogendras, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, one may worship the deity by chanting all the mantras. Right, so you can sit there and go through all the mantras that would be done in the puja, but just in your mind you would be seeing all the things and connecting what goes where.
Mm.
You know, you can do a Manasa Puja where you're just offering all the items and all that, or that with mantras, or that with all the mantras.
Mm.
You know, like that. 8 kinds of deities are mentioned in the Shastra, and the mental deity is one of them. Right, so you can do a full worship with all the mantras, or, you know, whatever, however you're offering. In this regard, the following description is given in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. In the city of Pratishthanapura, long ago, did we say where that is? Pratishthanapuri?
Godavari branch.
Godavari. Okay. So that means in south somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you were saying by Kurmakshetra or near Kurmakshetra.
Yeah, that whole region.
Oh, it's a region.
Near Rajamandri.
Oh, okay. So it's the whole region. Okay. There resided a Brahman who was poverty stricken but innocent and not dissatisfied. One day, so he didn't have money, but he, you know, wasn't getting greedy or clever or child, you know, he used to get money and he was satisfied. He wasn't dissatisfied in his position. He was just, you know, that's the way things are. One day he heard a discourse in an assembly of brahmanas concerning how to worship the deity in the temple. In that meeting he heard that the deity may be worshipped within the mind, right? As we've just heard now. In that discussion of the worship of the deity, then that point has been made. After this incident, the Brahmin, having bathed in the Godavari River, began mentally worshipping the deity. He would wash the temple within his mind, and then in his imagination, he would bring water from all the sacred rivers in golden and silver pots. He collected all kinds of valuable paraphernalia for worship, and he worshipped the deity very gorgeously, beginning from bathing the deity and ending with offering arati. Thus he felt great happiness. After many years had passed in this way, one day within his mind he cooked nice sweet rice with ghee to worship the deity. He placed the sweet rice on a golden dish and offered it to Lord Krishna, but he felt that the sweet rice was very hot, and therefore he touched it with his finger. He immediately felt that his finger had been burnt by the hot sweet rice, and thus he began to lament. While the Brahmana was in pain, Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha began smiling. The goddess Infortunate inquired from the Lord why he is smiling. Lord Vishnu then ordered his associates to bring the Brahman to Vaikuntha. Thus the Brahman attained the liberation of Samipya, the facility of living near the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So, like that, that's an example of how it pleases the Lord. So it's a full, bona fide system. Right? Does that make sense? So we find according to our position, right? Then we do. Okay, so continuing on, so that was then the fifth, that was deity worship. So six, vandanam, as we mentioned, the technical details of vandanam. Although prayers are a part of deity worship, they may be considered separately like the other items. So deity worship has these and so many others within it, but at the same time it can also be that someone just through prayers is perfecting themselves, right? Such as hearing and chanting, right? So just like that. And therefore, separate statements are given herewith. The Lord has unlimited transcendental qualities and opulences, and one who feels influenced by the Lord's qualities in various activities offers prayers to the Lord. In this way, he becomes successful. In this connection, the following are some of the offenses to be avoided. A, to offer obeisances on one hand, right? So that if you're going to perfect yourself by prayers, then you have to be careful of these specific, because these are specific to that. Does that make sense? To offer obeisances on one hand. B, to offer obeisances with one's body covered. Right? In other words, the upper part of the body is not covered. Right? So you're not wearing a shirt, this and that. You're always wearing, you know, like the chadar, you have it on your shoulder, or like you see in South, you always put it around their waist, like that. Right. So in other words, you don't come in your full, you know, how you say, what do you call it? Arak or whatever it is, like that, zipped up with the hood on and like that, and you can't even move, and then like that, yeah. To show one's back to the deity, right? Because if you're offering prayers, you have to face it. D, to offer obeisances on the left side of the deity, right? Because prayers are offered on the right side.
Yes.
Means the deity's right. The deity's right. So that means if you're facing the deity, it'll be towards the left. It's the deity's right. So you always have to be on that side of the temple if you want to perfect by offering prayers. If it's not, you offer prayers from anywhere.
Yes.
If that, so
might be the reason why the pujari is always...
Pujari is always on that side. You generally see the men are always on that side.
Yes.
Because the point is the other side, Lakshmi is on the other side, so the ladies are there, it's not a problem. Because that's where Lakshmi is standing, anyway.
Yes.
Plus, and the ladies are on the men's right, so it doesn't have that.
Yes.
There's the French thing, you understand, it just works that way. But you see some temples, somehow or another, it's reversed.
Yes.
Why, I have no idea, but it's reversed. But generally, you don't do it that way. Okay. D, to offer obeisances on the left side. E, to offer obeisances very near the deity. So don't be right near the deity. It's always a little bit back, because if it's prayers, then, you know, yeah, there's a little bit of formality. Does that make sense? So, then if you're offering, like, If you have these small temples where then the deity room is like there, and it's just all there is a little rope between there and the temple room.
Yes.
The pujari in offering a basin won't do on the deity side of the rope. He'll go outside and offer.
Yes.
But in other words, the basins aren't offered in the deity room.
Yes.
They're offered before you come in, you go out. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not very near, because it's too near. It's just like if you're there and someone's being formal and then they offer being right in front of you, it's a little too close, because it's a formal mood, so you have to... 7. Dasyam. There's the following statement in regard to assisting the Lord as a servant. After many, many thousands of births, when one comes to understand that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, one can deliver others from this universe. If one simply continues to think that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, even without performing any other process of devotional service, he can attain full success. For simply by this feeling, one can perform all 9 processes of devotional service. Right? In other words, the mood is that of, I am servant of the Lord. So because of that, I may be chanting, I'm worshiping the deity, I'm remembering the Lord, I'm serving the Vaishnavas who are Krishna's servants. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point is the mood is always that of I am simply... If one simply continues to think he's an eternal servant, right? So when it comes to that, then they can deliver others from this universe. So that's the mood required. When you have that, so if someone's thinking I'm servant of Krishna, then their preaching, their dealings, that will be successful. And if that's continuous, then also all the other ones connect. Yes?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.